So welcome into the Press Pass. This is a special edition. We've got the Clarendon Junior College head basketball coach, Hunter Jenkins, joining us. Mr. Steed has set this one up. Should be a good one.
Should be a great one. Hunter's a good young dude, one of the top premier coaches coming up in the area and in the JUCO ranks. Good friend as well. Not the backseat to Boston Hudson, as Boston Hudson likes to tell us. But
we're going to get there. Let's thank our sponsors real quick. That includes BSA Care Express Urgent Care, Modern Woodman of America, Andrews Brothers Roofing, Canyon Ranch, Steak and Sports, Texas Dodge, First United Bank, Sadler, Chapman, Howard Insurance Agency, SKP Creative, the Mako Shopping Center, Allred Security Insurance Agency, Emerald National Bank, Bobby Doobie Motors, Adrenaline Fundraising, Kids Inc., Lacey White, Farmers Insurance Agency there in Canyon, Wellington State Bank, and yes, the Furman family of companies. Furman Land Surveyors, Geodata Spatial, The Depot, Storage Solutions Center, The Bread Box, Fat Boys Family Barbecue, and The Hot Dog Hut at 518 Southeast 10th, where Mr. Steed may be taking Mr. Jenkins for lunch. He probably needs to, just to pay him for coming up here and doing the interview. What do you think?
Yeah, the NIL's around. I guess I could go pay him up a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. We could do that. We could give him like $50 and rename the head coach to the Press Pass Sports head basketball coach at Clarendon Junior College.
I think we should. Hunter, are you down for that?
That'd be good.
Yeah,
usually I eat allsops over in Clarendon, so need a good meal.
Gut Bob burritos.
Exactly.
As long as you get Hunter, we appreciate you joining us for this special episode today to talk Clarendon College men's basketball. And this is your second year at Clarendon?
Yes, sir.
How's it going, man?
I'm excited. I like our team this year. Last year we had a pretty good year. Sent two guys Division One. I think we tied for fourth in the league in year one. Had the freshman of the year in the league. He's back. Returned two starters. Yeah. And then added some pretty good Division One transfers. So I'm excited about the year.
So for those who don't know, like Clarendon College in the WAC Jack, one of the top premier JUCO basketball leagues. Man, this thing is loaded. South Plains College. New Mexico Junior College. Howard's always been there. And Howard, very popularly known when Mark Adams was there, and just brought out Jay Crowder, guys like that. I mean, this league is polished, right, Hunter?
Yes, you say? Very, very good, top to bottom. Just really good coaches, really good tradition. Midland's always good. They got multiple national titles. Odessa, they had Larry Johnson, who played in the NBA. The preseason rankings came out yesterday. We had three teams from our side of the league in the top 20 in the nation.
Ooh.
So really, really good league. A lot of NBA players have came from, like Frank Phillips has got Alize Johnson, mm-hmm. who's in the NBA now. Just really top to bottom. There's no easy night. It's kind of, we compare it to Big 12 of junior college. There's no easy night.
That's completely right, Craig.
Yeah, no. It is an extremely talented conference. And I guess my question to you is how do you come, you're in Clarendon. Let's just be upfront and honest. You're in Clarendon, Texas. How do you compete with these guys who, bring in NBA talent? How do you get guys into Clarendon? Well, I mean, you can't sell them on the allsops.
Right. Well, we got good people. Like, we've got great administration, great AD. We start with the people we're going to surround you with. Got great faculty. So our academic setup is great. And then I try to recruit personally on – just relationships. I go to guys who I trust in the AAU scene and high school coaches that I know, as well as I've been at Division One, so I try to really bring in Division One transfers because I know they're talented enough to play for us. And then really our style of play, I try to be different. Last year I think we had a top 10 or 15 offense in the country, so we played really, really fast, average about 90 points a game. So it's an exciting style of play. Kids want to come in and average a lot of points, score a lot of points. So
I would say if I was Clarendon, I'd say, hey, we're close to a lake, right? Greenbelt? We're close to a lake in a big city, which is Amarillo. I've heard that's a sales pitch.
Yes.
Because you don't have – I mean, you try to recruit locally, obviously, but I look at your roster, there's dudes from everywhere. It's amazing to me.
Right.
Out of state. I mean, guys are going to come play.
Yeah.
Or find a home.
Exactly. And to be honest, I try to go first Division One transfer because of talent,
right.
And then I like to mix in local guys too because I think it's going to bring fans. And there's good players in the area. We had Isaiah Johnson last year.
Tascosa.
He played about 20 minutes a game for us as a true freshman last year, and the year didn't count. So he's got potentially two more years to play for us if he doesn't get a four-year he likes this year. But he's going to play a big role for us. And then even last year we had a kid from Lubbock, Noble Robinson, from Friendship. So kind of the Panhandle area has got plenty of talent that we can recruit from as well. And then we've had pretty good luck recruiting the DFW area. It's an easy drive up 287. Last year we sent two players on Division I. Both of those guys are from Dallas. And then two of the Division I transfers we got this year played at the Colony High School in Dallas. So it's not a far drive for them, for their parents to come visit, come watch games and things like that. So.
What do these guys think when they show up in Clarendon, man?
Well, the dorms are right next to the gym, so they don't have far to travel to come down to the gym, and that's really what it's all about. They came here to – I don't really lie to them in recruiting and tell them, hey, you're coming to a big city with not a lot of nightlife. You're come here – it's really an 8-month deal to get better and play basketball for a year. Every Division I transfer is here for a different reason, whether they were at a D1, didn't play a lot, so they want to come down to JUCO and get a lot more playing time, or maybe a coaching change wasn't the right fit, so they come down to JUCO. And people say it's for a year, but they get here in August and then they leave in May. So it's a quick in and out. And then another thing we use in recruiting is just me and my assistant are both younger guys. Neither one of us are married, so we're just in the gym with these guys a lot. So we may be up there at 7 a.m. getting some shots up with them, team practice during the day, and then we're right back in there at 9 or 10 still getting up shots with them. So we try to be different in recruiting on that, say, hey, we're going to be in the gym with you a lot. We're going to develop your game. We're going to spend time with you. I'm the head coach. I'm not going to just pawn you off on an assistant to go. I want to personally build a relationship with you, spend time with you, and make you better.
When you look at your roster, and this is what amazed me, the height is unreal. When you compare, I mean, we're so used to talking about West Texas A&M, and 6'7", 6'8", is tall.
That's stretching.
It is. I mean, they've had the 1'7" footer, but really 6'7", 6'8", is about as tall as they go. And you got multiple 6'7", 6'8". You do have a 7'1" kid on there. Where do you get guys that tall to come in to the junior college, and why don't we see guys like that at the D2 level?
To be honest, I just recruit the best players I can get. I just happen to be one of those guys we got this year were 7'1". But the game of basketball, like if you got size and skill, you're gonna be able to play at a high level Division I, and that's really what our league's kind of made up of. Our league is full of just Division I players. A lot of teams in our league are very, very big, so I try to recruit and match up to them as well. Odessa, South Plains, all those guys are starting 6'11", 7 foot at the 5 spot. They got 6'8", 6'9", 6'10" at the 4. Ooh. So for us to be able to compete, we kind of need to match up with them. The 7'1" kid we've got, he started off at the University of Portland and then was at Tyler Junior College last year. And then got the COVID year back, so he was able to come back for another year. So he's an older guy, a third-year guy. He's played pretty well so far. He can shoot it out to three at his size, 7'1", protect the rim and things like that. But, yet, really, if you look across JUCO, like multiple teams in our league will have a roster just filled with D1 players. And you look at D1 rosters, and they're big as well.
No, there's no doubt about it. I think that's the difference in JUCO to D2. D2 is such a guard-heavy league.
Yes.
And it's like if you're a good big man, you're missing something in D2.
Right.
Yeah, but at the JUCO level, that's where your bigs really go to play.
Yes.
I guess that's just how it goes. I don't know.
Yeah, and like last year, our big man, he went to Binghamton. He was, I think, second in the league in rebounding. He wasn't much of a scorer, but real athletic. We got him. He was another D1 transfer we got from IUPUI.
Ooey pooey.
Yes, sir.
All right.
So it's kind of like it recruits itself. Once you get a D1 transfer who bounces back and it works out for them, it helps you a lot getting the next one.
How much has the transfer portal impacted JUCO basketball? Because we see the impact it has on four-year institutions, but how big of an impact has it had at the JUCO level?
It has, and this year more than any because those guys could come back for another year. So maybe some of the transfers in JUCO this year, they normally would have been able to go to go to another Division I, but their roster might have been full because a fourth-year senior came back for his fifth year. So there's probably, I think this year more than any, there's more Division I transfers in junior college. And then as well as everybody getting their year back, we've got two Division I transfers this year that spent 2 years at their Division I. And because last year didn't count, normally those guys would have had to gone Division II or Division I. They couldn't have gone because they used their 2 years So there's two Division Ones just for us that we got because they got the year back because of COVID last year.
You're big on building relationships, it sounds like, and one of those kind of coaches. So, you know, you recruited Isaiah Johnson out of Tascosa, that's Steven Jackson. You see what Jason Pillion's done. What kind of relationships have you – I know you're good friends with Boston Hudson there in Clarendon. What kind of relationships have you built here in the Panhandle with some of the coaches?
Yeah, I think Coach Pillion's one of the best coaches in the state. I really need to try to recruit a couple of his guys last year. And
Chris Thies was one of those?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think he got a full ride to a D2 in Georgia, I believe. Yeah. But Coach Pillion just runs a really, really great program, great culture. And then he's got great players as well. And then Coach Jackson, obviously we got Isaiah from him. He came in really from day one, and I thought he was pretty ready to play at the college level just from playing in a good program, being coached all 4 years in high school. He stepped in and really kind of he wasn't behind. He knew lingo, he knew different things, knew how to play the zones that we run, plays hard, was competitive, and just played high-level basketball here at Tascosa.
When you talked about Amarillo High, just as a side note, I want to ask you, so you've seen Brendan Howson play. That's a kid that just is not normal for the Amarillo area. Does it surprise you that he signed with Villanova? Did you see him being that good?
I got a chance to see him last year as a junior, and just his ability to shoot the ball, the game's trending to the three-point line, and his ability to shoot the ball is just really unbelievable. He's one of the best shooters in the country, I think, if not the best. I think he can make an argument for that. And then he's got good size, good feel, very, very tough. I think Coach Pillion does a good job of making his guys even tougher in his program. But what is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
6'4", 6'5", yeah.
And then just has an unbelievable three-point shot. And then I think he's more than just a shooter. I mean, people might try to label him, oh, he's just a shooter. But he's just tough, can put it on the ground.
His vision.
Vision. Yeah. And just he's just a player, in my opinion. I think he could play just about anywhere in the country. Villanova's a good spot. They obviously won a national championship recently. I think he had a lot of good options. I would have liked to see him at Tech with Coach Adams, but he had some good schools in his final four or five. I think Oklahoma would have been a good spot for him too. Coach Mosier does a good job. He's got a good culture over there too. But I think he knew exactly what he was looking for because you can kind of tell in his list. He had a certain fit he was looking for. But can't go wrong with Jay Wright. I think he's a Hall of Famer. One of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, and before we get into your background, because you've worked with quite a few maybe future Hall of Famers coming up, but I want to ask you this before we get into it. South Plains is kind of the I guess measuring stick when you look at the WAC Jack, mm-hmm. and they have been. Coach Green is unbelievable, man. What have they done at South Plains that you see that you kind of strive for? And what, because it seems like yearly these dudes are in the national contention.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Coach Green is probably the best junior college coach in the history of the game.
Wow.
I think he's got – what has he got, four national titles? Right. Three or four, yeah. Something like that. Maybe even five. But he's just a great ball coach. Really, really good offense. Recruits really, really well. Does a great job scouting. He's just a total coach. He's got really good player. Last year, I think they sent – five guys to a high major. The best player went to Oregon, who got player of the year in the league. Sent a guy to DePaul, sent a guy to Penn State, Arkansas, Little Rock, Cal State, Bakersfield. They just got really good players. And then he's been doing it so long. He's seen every scenario. He's coached at multiple different spots in our conference. So he's seen everything. Last year, actually, we played him at home, and it was a tornado.
I remember that. Yeah, the day Clarendon won the state championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
and so it was right after halftime. I think they had us down, and then a tornado. So we had to shelter in place. And so I got to talk to him for a little bit, and he said, "Man, this is the second time this has ever happened to me in my history of the league that we might have to not be able to finish a game." He had a story about when he was at Midland. They played at Howard, and there's a glass part of the ceiling that broke. Hail broke it, and so they had to come back another day and finish the game.
But wow.
Luckily, we were able to finish the game that day, so we didn't have to come back and play. But they had a good team last year. I think they lost in the Elite Eight to Ranger, and then they really reloaded. They added, I think, six or seven Division I transfers. He had a couple guys back. He just does a good job recruiting, and then once he gets there, they run really, really good stuff on offense. Does a great job taking away your best one or two players on the other team. He's just a really, really good coach. In my opinion, the best ever.
That's impressive. So let's get into you, and we'll kind of fill the folks in. First of all, let's start in high school. So your guys won a state title at Cayuga, played for your dad, Greg Jenkins. Talk about that, playing for your dad and winning a state title.
Yeah, so got to play for my dad, which I thought was great. Actually won a state title my freshman year, so I got in the semifinal game and something like that. But our team was loaded. We had, I think, 7 or 8 Division I players on the team.
Cayuga?
As far as I think 6 of them football. 6 of them we won football and won state in football and basketball that year. Wow. So our quarterback ended up going to Texas A&M to play receiver. Running back, Traylon Shedd, went to University of Texas to play running back.
My goodness.
I think we had a safety and receiver go to Stephen F. Austin. Lineman go to Lamar. Defensive tackle go to
2A school, right?
Yeah. We were 1A at the time.
1A, yeah, 1A then, yeah.
And so what's funny, actually, their junior year, I was in 8th grade, Stratford actually beat them in the state title game.
Remember that game.
They had a real tough team. So all those guys were D1 football athletes and played basketball too. And then we actually had a teammate of mine who was in the same grade. He was a freshman, a 6'7 guard. He ended up signing at University of Hartford his senior year. So we had one D1 basketball player, and then a bunch of really, really good athletes who were just we rolled out 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", at the 2A level and then could – sub in basically the same thing. Really, really athletic, and just a good team. I think that year when I was a freshman, we were 22-2, and then got to play all 4 years for my dad. And then I kind of knew I wanted to coach probably in middle school, just kind of growing up around my dad and things like that. And then when I got into high school, I was just interested in the ESPN rankings. I got to where I started liking recruiting. I was like, I think I want to do this in college. My dad used to work basketball camps at Texas A&M, some other college stuff in the summer. And he was like, man, I think the way to do it's get in being like a student assistant, try to be a grad assistant somewhere. I think that's how, if you want to do college, do it that route. And like I mentioned earlier, I had a teammate who was getting recruited by Division I schools and stuff like that. So kind of when he was coming by the school, my dad would say, hey, my son wants to get in the college coaching. You got any advice for him? And like, yeah, we'll take him as a student assistant. So I ended up going to a local JUCO, Trinity Valley, which is kind of a top 25 JUCO, yeah, year in and year out. Went there for a year. Just learned a lot about college coaching. Coach Bauman, who's now the head coach at Odessa, he was the head coach there. So went there for a year, got my associates, and then went on to Louisiana Tech for my undergrad after that. And just really lucked into the fact that the head coach there is was Mike White, who's now at the University of Florida.
Right.
Yeah. Who's one of the best coaches in the country. His dad was the AD at Duke. And so that the year I was there with him in undergrad, all 3 of the assistant coaches are now D1 head coaches. And
wow.
So just the guys I got to learn from at a young age, I didn't even know it at the time. I'm just sitting there. I look back in practice yesterday, I'm stealing something from we did back then. And so we had Darius Nichols, who's the head coach at Radford. He was an assistant. Jordan Mincy's the head coach at Jacksonville in Florida. And then Dusty May, he's the head coach at FAU. So some stuff you don't even realize at the time that you're around. I knew they were big time, but you don't know what their career is going to go on to be. And some of those guys, it's their first or second year as a head coach, like they could be really high major head coaches here soon.
Wow, that's impressive. Man. That is impressive. And then from La Tech, you ended up at?
Texas Tech. So was a grad assistant for Coach Beard his first year at Texas Tech. And
the Coach Beard at Texas Tech, right?
Yes.
Now the most hated man up here.
Right.
By every Tech fan around. Right.
And to be honest, too, that staff was loaded. Like, you don't realize it at the time, but Mark Adams was the assistant, who's now the head coach at Tech, obviously. And then Chris Ogden was one of the assistants who he went on to UT Arlington.
He's back with Beard.
He's back with Beard at Texas. Al Pinkins was there. He went on to University of Florida as an assistant. And then Brian Berg, he was chief of staff. He's now the head coach at Georgia Southern. Gosh. So just all these head coaches – that I've just been around and just pick up little things from every. That's kind of my philosophy. I steal little stuff from Beard, little stuff from Adams, little stuff from Mike White, different things like that, and kind of make it my own philosophy and things like that.
How many hours a day would y'all put in, man?
With Beard, I'll put it to you this way. I went to Walmart after about my first week on the job and got an air mattress and had it in my office. So we work a lot of hours. I think Beard always says the line. I don't think I'm working harder than anybody else, but nobody's working harder than me. I'm working as hard as anybody else in the country. He doesn't want anybody to outwork him. So we'd be in there till late at night, and then right back up there first thing in the morning.
And I don't think people realize, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds really cool to be an assistant coach or a grad assistant at that level, but the hours and the dedication and everything you got to put in associated with the pay, they don't match up.
Right, right. I honestly would have done it for free just because, I mean, it's like you're getting a PhD in coaching, just being around Coach Beard, who was around Bob Knight, and just honestly wish I could, like, for a week go back and watch him at Texas for a week and things like that. I'd be like, man, if I would have known I was going to be a head coach, I'd have paid a little bit more attention to this, a little bit more attention than that. Too busy, wrapped up doing the little things to try to help us win that year. But we were in there until, I mean, many a night till 2 or 3 a.m., just breaking down film, just with that staff. Every little thing matters, just as far as inbounds, defense, every ATO they ran from 4 or 5 years ago, just every – no stones unturned with really everybody on that staff.
You started at the bottom, man. Obviously, you're a grad assistant, and a lot of kids today look at it and go, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. So you could tell us right here to kids, that because there are kids that listen to this show and that might want to be a coach. It's kind of like when you sign that paper to go to college. And it's all about the paper, but it's not. Grad assistant is not fun, man. I mean, it is. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to start at the bottom.
Oh, right, right. You certainly find out if this is what you want to do, if you want to tell everybody, hey, I'm a coach or grad assistant in the Big 12. But you find out really quick, hey, if you want to spend X amount of hours, you want to stay up until 2 or 3 a.m. cutting film, and then be back up there at 7:30 to work out Keenan Evans or things like that. So
we're doing laundry.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Luckily, I did that kind of as a student assistant. But there, at Texas Tech, there's just such a big operation. We had like 10 managers who were good. A lot of our stuff as a GA was we had the broad scope of the film. We were narrowing down what to give to the assistant coaches, and then we spent a lot of time working out the players, making sure they were getting workouts, getting up shots, things like that, and then. We had one GA that was kind of assigned to Coach Adams, helping him break down his film. And then I was kind of with Coach Beard, and then whoever scout it was. I spent a lot of time, a lot of my GA responsibilities were in the film room and things like that as far as scouting. And then I was pretty blessed as well, too, to have a pretty good relationship with those assistants, where I got to just learn a lot of stuff about recruiting, just being in there when they're talking to recruits, learning tricks of the trade and stuff like that, because we had some really high-level recruits. Like Chris Ogden, I think, one of the best recruiters in college basketball. Al Pinkins is one of the best recruiters. And Coach Beard himself, just as a head coach, that's something I do now. I'm a head coach. I like to do a lot of recruiting myself, build a relationship with him. That's all stuff I got from Coach Beard. Just building relationships is a big word to him.
I got to ask you this. Lance Lawner and I get a kick out of it. I think we brought it up to Craig. You watch a Tech game, and there's like 20 dudes on the sideline suits and like 8 players.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
There's like 20 of you guys in suits.
Honestly, when I got there, I quickly realized, like, Coach Beard, he just surrounds himself with high-level people. I think we had the best strength coach in the country. I think our director of basketball operations is one of the best in the country. He had 3 of the best assistants in the everybody, whatever your job is, he hired really, really great people to do those jobs. We had 4 GAs when I was there. He had special assistant to the head coach was Larry Brown, he's now the head coach at Ranger. We got them second game of the year, but he's been a D1 head coach. He's won state titles as a high school coach, been a JUCO head coach. He just surrounded himself with people who know a lot about basketball, who really want to work, who really invested in winning, and then all good people too. There was nobody that had an ego, nobody that was too big to do anything like that. Just a high-level staff, and then he obviously continued to put together. Like when guys would leave and get head coaching jobs, he replaced them with high-level guys. I know he added Sean Sutton after I left. Right. I would have loved to work with him and learn from him. I know he's got a really, really good background, really incredible career himself. And then, that's what I got for them.
When people talk about Mark Adams, defensive genius comes up very quickly. Is that something you saw while you were there?
Yes. Honestly, he's just a great, great ball coach in general. His kind of role with Tech at the time was defense, and he did an incredible job with it. I think the best in the country. But like he's been a head coach at several different places, WT, Clarendon College, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He won a national championship at Howard. He was at UT Pan Am, Division I head coach. He's got a lot of experience as a head coach. So, I mean, he can coach really everything. I've leaned on him a couple times since I got the job just for his advice, since he's been at Clarendon. His son's actually in the league too, so I can't ask him for too much.
Yeah, Luke, he's New Mexico, right?
He's at New Mexico.
That's right, Luke is. Yeah, forget about that.
Yeah, and he's got a really good team this year too, a lot of talent. I think they're in the top 20 rankings this year. He's done a good job since he's been over there too.
Wow, what's Beard? So we got to hear some Beard stuff, man. Now, you worked under Beard. Now, the stories you can tell us here on the podcast. Obviously, there's probably some stuff you can't talk to us about. But what's great about Beard? What's fun about working with Beard? Or is there, you got a couple stories?
Yeah, Beard just he does a great job of just maximizing every day. He wins every day, keeps everybody on edge, and then he just does a good job of just making things fun. Like basketball, playing basketball, coaching, it's supposed to be fun. So something fun he always does is either pregame, the day of the game, or the night before, he just picks two people on staff or two players to play one-on-one. And then the players got to pick who's going to win, and then you run, I think, a suicide or something if you lose. But I think we were at Oklahoma State, and this was the night before we played Oklahoma State. And so it's shoot around, and the ESPN broadcasters are there and stuff like that. And so he just happened to pick me and another GA, who was a really, really good matchup. We'd played one-on-one before, and it came down to the wire. I'd lost. So I was like, there's ESPN cameras here. There's some broadcasters. Like, I got to pick my game up a notch. So ended up winning the game. And I think the ESPN guys got some video. I got a little animated, and I forgot who it wasn't Fran Fischilla, but it was somebody pretty good. And he said, I think we're going to put some of those clips on the game tomorrow. I'm fired up thinking, oh yeah, they're going to put one of my, they're going to talk about Coach Beard doing the one-on-one stuff. And, I think I made a three to win it or whatever it was. And, so I was like, yeah, I'm about to be on ESPN tomorrow as a GA making a three, all this kind of stuff. And, Oklahoma State just comes out and just – they had Phil Forte. They had really, really good team that year. And they're beating us bad from the start. Like, we never really get in the game. They got a kind of a 10-point cushion lead. So, the broadcasters, after the game, I'm watching the video, cutting it up. But also, I'm like, I wonder when my clips are coming in here. But they talked about Oklahoma State the entire broadcast. So, I was like
– damn, I didn't get on there.
Your moment of glory down the drain.
Exactly.
Maybe if you guys would have shown up.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
But that's something Coach Beard, he does just a good job of. He's real creative, things like that. It just keeps things loose and competitive as well, because obviously you're playing another GA. You don't want to lose, things like that.
Hey, but real quick before we get out of here, man, you are so good on social media. Not only your personal account, but you have brought a life to Clarendon College that wasn't there, I feel. And I know you constantly tweet out. I don't know about your Insta, but I see you constantly on Twitter. How important is that today for Clarendon College to have?
I think it's very important. That's something I kind of learned at Texas Tech, just to kind of keep up with the top programs in the country. That's another kind of responsibility I have. I actually learned how to make graphics.
Your graphics are good. I'm about to hire you.
Right. That's something like I didn't think, and to people out there wanting to get into coaching, I didn't think learning how to use Photoshop would really translate to being a basketball coach. But, I mean, I use it in recruiting. Every single year, I learned how to do it when I was at Louisiana Tech, and then once I got to Texas Tech, we're doing the recruiting is just you're recruiting so far down the line, recruiting younger guys and sending out a lot more things. You got to get creative to kind of keep up with with the top programs in the country. So everything just kind of got taken to the next level at Texas Tech. And so I just really have used it ever since. I got to be a JUCO assistant after I left being a GA, and I just kept using the same templates and graphics that we're using at Texas Tech to try to recruit JUCO kids, and it worked pretty well. And then I went to Buffalo as an assistant and just kept using graphics. And then now I don't have as much time to sit on the computer and make graphics and stuff like that for recruiting as a head coach, just because got a lot more stuff on your plate. But it comes in handy probably every day, whether it's making a recruit graphic, making something for a scout, and different things like that. So Photoshop is just kind of the way it helps with everything, branding the program, which I think that's what it all boils down to. It all comes back to recruiting, really everything. That's why
everything.
That's why you want to brand the program well, because a lot of it during COVID as well, recruiting, you couldn't go out and see kids. Kid couldn't see campus. So we had to kind of brand the program, make things to show them what they're going to get when they get to campus and things like that. And a lot of our kids come from across the country, so their parents might not be able to come to Clarendon to watch a game. So it's important to get information out to the parents, get things out there. And then the last piece to it, I think, is the like name, image, and likeness. I think if we can kind of start getting their name out, start getting their brand out in junior college, those guys, when they move on to Division I, they might get a few more followers at Clarendon, but that's going to help their brand and things like that when they get to their Division I and they're able to make some money with it.
Allsup's Burritos and you? Is that a deal there in Clarendon?
I would love to get sponsored by Allsup's. I don't know if they do coaches deal, but I'll be on a billboard holding a burrito. I'm telling you, I get those burritos, but they got more than just burritos. I think
look at him, he's already salesman.
See? Their curly fries are underrated for sure.
Yeah.
But they've got really everything.
But now you can only eat the burrito with the taco sauce.
Yes.
That is the most amazing taco sauce mixed with that burrito. I don't know why, but that is the only way to eat an Allsup's burrito.
And I've been to other Allsup's. Clarendon has to have one of the best Allsup's in the country.
Is that right?
Yeah. They've got a really, really good kitchen, good clean bathrooms. But I've stopped at other Allsup's on purpose just to see, and I've never found one that their food matches the one in Clarendon.
This is a very new observation to me.
Hey, when you're in Clarendon, man, you got to be observant to the small things.
Well, yeah. No, it's a good place.
All right, Coach, before we get out of here, got to find out, how do we find you on Twitter? You know, how can we catch a Clarendon College basketball game if we're not in person? Give us all the info on that.
Yeah, so we're pretty active on Twitter and Instagram. I think they're both Clarendon MBB. Is both of those tag at Clarendon MBB. And then all of our games, I believe the whole season, even our road games, will be live streamed, and we usually tweet out links. But all our home games are streamed on clarendoncollege.edu, and you'll click live stream or Bulldog Athletics and then go to live stream on there to catch all of those. And then we've actually got some of our players got some pretty good Instagram accounts as well. We've actually got Sharif Cooper's brother who plays for the Hawks. He's got like 20,000 followers. Got some pretty high profile accounts, just as far as guys on our team that be worth a follow. But we're usually putting out content probably a couple times a week, so you can find. We put out videos, pictures, schedule type stuff, and then we'll even ramp up kind of our interviews and get these guys kind of trained for the Division I level. They're going to get interviewed a lot more, so I think that's part of a job as a junior college to kind of prepare these guys for the media and stuff like that they're going to get at the next level.
Well, Coach, we really do appreciate you joining us, and you know, if you can't catch the live stream, drive down to Clarendon. I don't think people realize the quality of basketball that goes on there. We just all think of Clarendon College. Some high-level Division I basketball being played there. Best of luck this season, and I bet you we talk to you before the year's out.
Perfect. Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us here on the Press Pass. This was a special edition with Clarendon College head men's basketball coach Hunter Jenkins. I want to thank our sponsors. That includes BSA Care Express Urgent Care, Modern Woodman of America, Andrus Brothers Roofing, Canyon Ranch Steak and Sports, Texas Dodge, First United Bank, Sadler, Chapman, Howard Insurance Agency, SKP Creative, the Mako Shopping Center, Allred Security Insurance Agency, Amarillo National Bank, Bobby Doobie Motors, Adrillin Fundraising, Lacey White Farmers Insurance Agency, Kids Inc., Wellington State Bank, the Furman family of companies, including the Furman Land Surveyors, Geodata Spatial, the Depot Storage Solutions Center, the Bread Box, Fat Boys Family Barbecue, and the Hot Dog Hut, and after all the talk about Allsup's, we might as well add them as a sponsor as well. For Cal Steed, founder and creator of PressPassSports.com, I'm Craig Spear with the Happy Sports Network.